It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. God bless each one of you. It's the 12th of June. God be with you today. May his grace and peace be in your heart and life. It's time for our opening prayer. We always like to go to the throne of grace, my friends. And at this time, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for your kindness and grace and mercy. And I pray that you be with us as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time.
Amen. We're talking today about the creation of man and woman, the creation of man and woman as we continue our Bible study series, learning what are important truths that we would need to know before being baptized, brothers and sisters. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, at this time, Genesis chapter 2, that's where we're reading from. Now, we already read some of what we would call the creation of man and woman because it had been also in the previous chapter. But let's pray and let's dig right in, okay? Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for your love. We ask that you would be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, near the end of that chapter, it says in verse 26, "And let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the creep, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Okay, so God spake that that is what he was going to do. That was done on the sixth day. And now we're in chapter 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Brothers and sisters, there is no verse in the Bible where that sanctification of the seventh day of the week has ever been lifted. It's not lifted, friends. The Sabbath day is not Sunday, regardless of what the Roman Catholics will tell you. And it has spread over into the Protestant churches because they gave up some of the traditions of Rome, but they did not give up all the traditions of Rome. Thus, they teach as a doctrine the commandments of man. God never said, "Honor me with my honor my resurrection by changing the sanctified day." He never said he did it. He never did it. It's not been done. The Sabbath is still sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. There were no Jews, okay? So it is not Jewish. It's just that the Jewish people were the chosen people through whom Christ would come. Therefore, they kept, obviously, the Sabbath. And because Christ hadn't come, God added some ceremonial laws to point forward to Christ so they could keep their minds on Christ, the Passover, the unleavened bread, different things that they had to do representing some feature of Christ and his ministry. And so those were done away with at the cross, but they pointed forward to Christ. The Sabbath was the first thing that God did after creating man. And so these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Brothers and sisters, the grass and the plants and the food and all that, it just grew. God just did it. It did it on its own. There was no need to till the ground, work hard and shovel and hoe and all those types of things. It had not rained. Remember, there was water above the earth, water on the face of the earth, on the surface like we have now. And as a result of the water above, there was just a mild temperature on the face of the entire earth. When it rained, brothers and sisters, that whole envelope of water imploded and came down, and that was part of the deluge that we call the global flood. And therefore, we now have direct access to the heat rays of the sun. It's no longer a nice semi-tropical environment. We have contrasts of temperatures, some very hot, some very cold. That's not the way it was at the beginning. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We'd like to mention, although this will be talked about at a later time, it says God formed man of dust, breathed into his nostrils the breath. Man became a living soul. So in the truest sense of your being, you don't have a soul, something that when you die would still be present and still have conscious thought floating up to heaven that they talk about in homegoing ceremonies. That's not in the Bible, friend. You are a soul. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Revelation and in another text as well that every living soul died in the sea. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So your soul dies because your soul is you. You are a soul. That's why we save souls, okay? When we do evangelism, we save souls. My brothers and sisters, that is another lie that Satan told through the Roman Catholic Church. It has been accepted also in Protestantism that when you die, you go straight to heaven or hell. You see, these two doctrines, Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul when you supposedly die and still are alive somewhere else in some other form, they came from the occult. They came from Satanism. You see, the occult believed in worshiping the sun god, and so their special day of worship was the first day of the week. When Rome took over Christianity, they wanted to recruit them, so they had to compromise and bring in traditions and over the Bible, and they were able to attract large numbers of pagan people because they didn't have to change their day of worship. They just Christianized it, so to speak. But it came, Sunday worship was the worship of the sun god. Okay, that's where it came from. And they also, in the occult, believed in the spirit world. Now, we believe that there are evil spirits called the devil and his angels, but they have all kinds of things that they believe that you can talk to people after they die and so on and so forth. And when you die, you become stardust and all kinds of things that they believe. So the Roman Catholic Church said, you bring that in, you come on in, we'll just call it heaven. We'll call the bad place hell, and we'll make up another one called purgatory, which is not even mentioned in the Bible, so that we can get more money, because you pay the church to get your relatives out of hell into heaven. So if they added a step, you paid more to get them out of heaven, to get them out of hell, and then into purgatory, and then out of purgatory into heaven. They even offered indulgences. They knew that people liked to sin. So if you wanted to fornicate, you can pay for an indulgence that would allow you to indulge in the basest passions and already have a forgiveness ticket to heaven. That's how the wealth of the Roman Catholic Church was built up in the early days. And so, my brothers and sisters, a lot of the things that people do, Sunday worship and the belief that when you die, you go straight to heaven or hell, it's not in the Bible. This verse just kind of helps to introduce that. Man was formed of dust. God breathed into his nostrils breath. He became a living soul. That will be one of our topics that we will go over in our Bible study class, what happens when we die, the state of the dead. We're just introducing some concepts now because repetition deepens the impression and sharpens the intellect. So I have not proven that to you yet, okay? I've just told you what I plan to prove to you, so don't take my word for it. We always substantiate the teachings of the Bible from the Bible. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the eye and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Brothers and sisters, Adam was the king of the earth. He still had was the under the sovereignty of the universe, under the king who is sovereign of the universe. But God gave man dominion. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. For Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his woman, and were not ashamed." Brothers and sisters, there are challenges in most marriages. The divorce rate is very high, and even people who stay together sometimes for the sake of the children, or "I don't want to get divorced because I'll have to give up half my money," or whatever people have as their reason. Many, many people are not happy in their marriages, my brothers and sisters. We've not followed God's design. God was the head. We're supposed to keep God first in our lives and in our marriages. In the beginning, there was no head of the house. There was no need to be. They had the mind of God. And the closer we come to the mind of God, we won't have to remember that we're not the head or that we are the head. We would just be happy in our relationship with our husband or our wife, okay? God made man male, the woman female, all of this confusion that you have. You know, I just saw something that recently came across the news where they made a big deal out of taking the Bible out of the library because they said it was full of pornography. You know, it's not full of pornography. I know that, but the Bible is real, and it tells stories, and there were stories of the history of immorality of man and the saving of man, of course, therein. So a group was able to successfully take the Bible out of the public school. That was just retaliation, brothers and sisters, for the taking out of the library a lot of the LGBT books, which teach our little children they can have two daddies and our little children that they can have two mommies and so on and so forth, you know. God loves all people. Sin is sin. The Bible tells us that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And it says before Jesus comes, as we're in the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it is, where it says in the last days perilous times shall come, maybe 2 Timothy 3. It says without natural affection. The affection of mankind will not be natural. It is natural for a man to love in that type of way a woman and a woman to love in that type of way a man. If it's not natural affection, a man can love a dog in an inappropriate way, and that happens. A man can love a man in an inappropriate way, that happens. A man can and woman can love a child lustfully in that type of way, which is inappropriate, and that happens. But when we follow God's plan, that's the only time we can have true peace. So I just wanted to bring out the fact that Eve was made out of Adam's rib, that kind of center mass of his body. She was not made out of a bone of his head to rule over him. Neither was she made out of his foot to be trampled upon. She was made from a rib. They were one. They still had roles. Adam was the probably stronger protector, but he wasn't the head of the house. There was no need because they had the mind of God. You only have to have a head of the house when you can't agree. And now that sin has come in the world, mankind will not always agree. So someone has to have a last word. And God has determined that that should be the man. And we'll talk about that at another time. That'll probably be tomorrow's subject. But I just want to bring out the fact that there was nothing here in this that man is head of the woman submissive to the man. They just had a happy life, brothers and sisters. Happy husband and wife, happy life. And that's how God made it. Although this is mentioned in chapter 2, this all happened on the sixth day. God just gave more details of it because he says, he had finished all his creative work on the sixth day. So somehow on that sixth day, that's when God put Adam to sleep. That's when Adam named the animals. That's when, at least we know that that's when, for sure, Eve was created, because God's creative work was already finished. And so that's the creation of man. God made man out of the dust, and he put man to sleep. From the rib, he made woman, brought her unto the man, and he didn't bring a man to a man. And God, that was the first marriage. So brothers and sisters, the Sabbath and marriage, and I'm going to add true education, because they were not supposed to eat from a tree that combined good knowledge with bad knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was not what they were supposed to eat of. All right, my friends, God is so good, and we love him because he first loved us. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this message on the creation of man and woman. We just thank you so much for your great wisdom, sovereignty, glory. We want to be in your perfect will. We want to be where you are in the sense that we want our minds to be on holy things. We ask that you will bless us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to take a break, and we'll be coming back for the wellness segment of the broadcast, and we will hear from Sister Lenny, the power of example. The power of example. So at this time, we will have our torso song as a song of intermission.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso. Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to So-So, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
We'll hear from Sister Lenny on the power of example.
Good morning to everyone. Happy Monday. Power of example. The physician who ministers in the homes of the people, watching at the bedside of the sick, relieving their distress, bringing them back from the borders of the grave, speaking hope to the dying, wins a place of confidence and affection, such as is granted to few others. not even to the minister of the gospel or committed possibilities so great or an influence so far reaching. The physician's example, no less than his teaching, should be a positive power on the right side. The cause of reform calls for men and women whose life practice is an illustration of self-control. It is our practice of the principles we inculcate that gives them weight. The world needs a practical demonstration of what the grace of God can do in restoring to human beings their lost kingship, giving them mastery of themselves. There is nothing that the world needs so much as a knowledge of the gospel-saving power revealed in Christ-like lives. The physician is continually brought into contact with those who need the strength and encouragement of a right example. Many are weak in moral power. They lack self-control and are easily overcome by temptation. The physician can help these souls only as he reveals in his own life a strength of principle that enables him to triumph over every injurious habit and defiling lust. In his life must be seen the working of a power that is divine. If he fails here, however forcible or persuasive his words may be, his influence will tell for evil. Many seek medical advice and treatment who have become moral wrecks through their own wrong habits. They are bruised and weak and wounded, feeling their folly and their inability to overcome. Such ones should have nothing in their surroundings to encourage a continuance of the thoughts and feelings that have made them what they are. They need to breathe an atmosphere of purity, of high and noble thought. How terrible the responsibility when those who should give them a right example are themselves enthralled by hurtful habits, their influence afforded to temptation and added strength. This morning, the reading is coming from the Ministry of Healing, pages 46 to 47. So it's amazing to me how certain things that we can read can bring us back to maybe testimonies, things we went through, and, you know, things that has been a part of our life. This took me back to when I had depression so bad that I was highly medicated on all kinds of medications. I kept calling the doctor's office, and he gave me a new medicine that just took me to a whole different situation and just made the situation worse. He never returned any of my calls, so now it's time for my appointment visit. And I noticed as soon as I walked into the office, I felt annoyance by the receptionist. They didn't greet me properly either. I called so much that they knew me by voice. The office, when I got there, the office was full of patients. I sat, waited to be called. As the doctor called people back, I noticed he had a nice tone in his voice. Mrs. So-and-so, come on back. Mrs. So-and-so, come on back. But when he got to me, it was Carolyn. And I was like, oh. It kind of startled me, and I'm like, wow. Immediately, when I got into the office and he shut the door, he started screaming at me about how I can't keep calling. But why I can't scream like him, but he was screaming it out. I can't keep calling the office. The receptionist don't want to even answer the phone because it's me. He started screaming again. So finally, when he screamed again, he screamed it out. You're not going to get better until you stop taking all that medication. And when he said that, it rung in my head. It felt like my head was swimming. Burning went all through my body, down my arms, through my whole body, down to my feet. And I felt like I was in a trance. And I remember reaching for my pocketbook and backing out of the office, not turn around because I want to keep my eye on him. So I was backing out of the office. And as I backed out of the office, I looked back at him. And he said, Carolyn, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I'll call you in a couple of days. And I said to myself, I'm not coming back here. So I proceeded to walk out the office and the receptionist is calling me, Carolyn, you need to come and make your visit, your next visit. And I remember turning around in slow motion, and I looked at her and I said, I won't need another visit. And they kind of smirked. That kind of bothered me because I felt like I was being made fun of. They kind of smirked when they said, oh, Carolyn, your next visit. So I said, you know, maybe they didn't hear me. So I walked all the way up to the nurses, to the station, the receptionist station, and I said, I will not need another visit in this office or probably any other office. And they're staring at me. They said, he's going to call you in a couple of days. Now, remember I told you it was a lot of patients in there, and I know they heard him. And so I said to her, I will not need another visit. Today wasn't a visit. All he did was scream at me, as you well know. He probably won't call me, and that's okay, because I'm done here. And they were looking back at each other with like a smile, you know. And so I proceeded to go ahead and walk out the office. And I turned back around and I said, don't send me a bill, because if you send me a bill, I'm going to report him to the physician's board. And so I turned around and I walked down and got my car. And that's where I sat for a half an hour. Let me tell you something. I haven't taken a depression medicine since that day. I had no desire to take it. I haven't taken anything. I was praying when I got in the car. I sat there in half an hour and cried my eyes out because I could not believe that that doctor treated me that way. I sat in that car and I was praying, and my prayer was this. Lord, I pray that somebody in there beside me heard what he said. And they will, too, stop taking all that medicine. That medicine didn't help me. All it did was made me worse. Like I said, this title in the Ministry of Healing hit me. And I've given this testimony before. I probably never got to the end, but I know I gave it. So I just encourage people who are going through different situations. If we just continue to give our lives to Jesus Christ, he will turn everything around. It had to take God to get me off that medicine, besides my husband trying to wean me off of the medicine as well. So I encourage you today to do your best for your health. Sometimes it's just not going to work with the medication. Have a wonderful day today, and God bless you.
Amen. What a powerful testimony. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, you know the word testimony has the word test in it. So sometimes when we have a test, God is wanting it to be a testimony. All right, friends, you know what? Hold on a second. I may have lost Facebook. I sure may have. Let me see. Okay. Yeah, I lost them. So let me just see what I'm fucking doing. Let me just do this real quick. I'm going to go ahead and do a new Facebook video. Give me a second. I had hit something earlier, and I didn't realize I closed them out. Well, let me just not worry about it, because actually, we won't worry about it. I'm sorry, Sister Lenny, they didn't get it all, because I hit the wrong button, but... We got it, so to God be the glory. We might just, when we post it, let people know they should just listen to the audio. All right, friends, phone lines are open. Feel free to press star 6. We have Sister Leilani already on. Let me do a roll call real quickly. We have representation from Ohio, from Ohio again, from Alabama, from Delaware and Delaware again, from New Jersey, and from Alaska. We have Georgia, and we're here in Pennsylvania. All right, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and take that call at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I was interested in that reference from Ministry of Healing that Sister Lenny gave us.
She's still on. She can share that with us.
It's coming from the Ministry of Healing, page 46 to 47, Power of Example.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. So, my sister, you're going to hear from me today. It was supposed to be yesterday, and some things came up, so you're going to hear from me today, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Yeah.
All right, is there anyone else that would like to share anything on the Worship and Wellness broadcast at this time? We have about 18 minutes to the top of the hour. If there is anyone that would like to share. You know, that's a powerful testimony. That is so interesting that the doctor said that, because that is one area that they say you can never get off medication. That's what they will, that's the general line of thinking, the general, you know, concepts that people have. If you're taking any type of medication for mental issues, you've got to stay on it for the rest of your life. It's not true, and it's an organ, the brain, just like any other organ. And if you can heal the high blood pressure and diabetes and the organs that work with that, because you have vessels and the heart involved, you got organs like the liver and kidneys involved, many, many conditions can be, any condition can be healed by the power of God. And so, but for a doctor to admit that, he was outside of himself. But in such, he told the truth in his anger. And so that's powerful. That's powerful. Well, praise God for that testimony. All right, there's no one else in the queue. We'll just go ahead and have our closing prayer at this time. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for your kindness and grace, your mercy and your peace. We do come before you just wanting to give you all the glory, honor, and praise that we can, extolling you for your great majesty and righteousness and wisdom. Father, we do also submit ourselves to you and commit ourselves to you, that we might cooperate with you in the great plan of redemption. We ask now that you would bless us on this day of June 12th, that we will have our hearts knitted to your heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lambs with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you all. Sister Maria sends her regards to everyone today, and may the Lord bless you as we listen to the closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.
I will worship.
love.